Thank you. We're recording Policy and Pino here at the beautiful Providence Athenaeum, an ongoing discussion series. We're pleased to be joined by Rhode Island Republican Chairman Brandon Bell, Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller, Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay, and I'm Ian Donis. We've been talking about the 2016 presidential race, but I'd like to turn the attention back a little more to Rhode Island. Here in Rhode Island right now, there are only 16 Republicans in the 113-member General Assembly. The GOP has been unable to make much progress on increasing its representation on Smith Hill for a number of years. Brandon Bell, what are the obstacles, and is it going to be any different this year?
I think it will. We're in a very Democratic state. Let's be clear about that. So the GA races, General Assembly races, get very little attention. I mean, it's really that simple. We need good candidates with a good message who have courage, confidence, preparation. We started the year off on a great note in Senate District 11, which represents most of Portsmouth, part of Tiverton, and part of Bristol. John Pagliarini got him elected against a lot of odds there. And so I think that, with no master lever, we know that the impact of presidential turnout is greater votes. And I believe that even in a Democratic state with good candidates, we can make some inroads in the assembly, particularly because people who are just going out for the presidential election are not just going to press a lever anymore. They may not go down ballot and vote. So I think we have some good chances.
Scott McKay, do you have some free advice for Brandon Bell and state Republicans?
He charges.
I'm sure he knows exactly what I do. He's probably looked at the races where the Democratic incumbent won by, say, 54, 55, 56% or less, sees some of the people who are old, maybe had some ethics problems, been around too long, haven't paid attention to their constituency, and then you find good people to run against them, and then you finance them. I mean, I think the General Assembly could use a serious injection of competition. One of the problems in this state is that people take support for granted. And when 40% of the seats are going unopposed, I mean, there's no fire under these people's butts to do much of anything except sit on them. And that's a pretty serious indictment. And I don't want to say it's terrible, because whenever I see someone at the State House and they say to me, look at these people, how bad they are, I always say, you know what? You should see who they beat.
Well, let's move on and talk about Rhode Island's April 26th presidential primary. Wendy Schiller, talk about what role voters will play in this process. It looks like Rhode Island could surprisingly be influential on the Republican side, at least. And why is Hillary Clinton doing seemingly not as well as she did in 2008 when she beat Barack Obama here by 18 points?
Well, I think the same reason that Hillary Clinton hasn't done quite as well as she did in some of the states that she won in 2008. There's a little bit of Hillary Clinton fatigue. I think people think, oh, you had your chance, but now you're back. And yet they're still flocking to her because I think they think that she can win the general election. So I think that's one of the reasons why her support might ebb. But I also think Bernie Sanders is a bit of a local favorite. You know, maybe go up to Vermont. And I think that he represents change. And I think Trump will bring more people to the polls in the Rhode Island primary than any other Republican candidate. So if it won't be solved by then, he won't have the nomination by then. So I think it empowers the Republican Party in Rhode Island. It's a big opportunity for the Republicans in Rhode Island to get more of their voters registered to vote and engaged in the process, even if they're ambivalent about their top nominee. It's a mechanism for getting more people involved.
Scott McKay, could Bernie Sanders pull off an upset in Rhode Island? And in November, if Donald Trump is the Republican nominee, could he be the first Republican to take Rhode Island in a presidential election since Ronald Reagan?
I don't see Trump winning in Rhode Island. Rhode Island hasn't voted Democratic in a presidential election, Republican in a presidential election since 1984, as Ian referred to. And even then, it was very close. Mondale almost won Rhode Island, believe it or not, in an election where he got cleaned 49 states to one. He only carried his home state of Minnesota. Sanders could win here, but will it matter by then? That's the crucial question. Or will the Democratic side be largely over? And if it's perceived as being over, I'm not sure there'll be a huge turnout. Now, if it's still competitive, I might even bet on Bernie Sanders, because despite the party elite in this state and how close everyone is to Hillary Clinton, I do think that the ground troops and the grassroots folks are out there working hard for Sanders. And so if the race is within 4 or 5 points, because that's all a ground game can really move, I think he might have had a shot at it. The crucial question is, will it still matter April 26th what Bernie Sanders does?
Brandon Bell, other than one organizational meeting, it doesn't seem like Trump's campaign has done much here in Rhode Island. There are just a handful of Republicans in elected office who support him, yet he led the Republican race in a recent poll by Brown's Taubman Institute. How is he doing it?
$2 billion in free media. The guy sneezes and he gets paid attention to. He talks about dragging somebody out on a stretcher and he gets paid attention to. He dominates the news cycle. So what I will have to say about that is this, is that I have to give a little plug to the Republican Party and the way our rules work. We don't have super delegates. The Republican.
Yeah, but you kind of do. You have three.
No, we don't. We're committed on the first ballot as our state votes. And one of the other members is in the audience, Leanne Senek. We are committed on the first ballot. So what I will say about that is this. When Hillary got her clock cleaned in New Hampshire, Bernie walked out with just as many delegates, if not more. Here, it's pure proportional. This is not fixed at all. We are much more Democratic than the Democrats are when it comes to our primary elections.
Let's stay with Brandon Bell here and talk about one of your pet issues that you've been very vocal about. That's the new truck toll law that is being implemented, was signed into law by Democratic Governor Gina Raimondo. You obviously think Republicans are going to be able to make hay out of that in a legislative elections this year. Tell us what's wrong with the plan and why you think it's going to be a hot issue.
It creates a new revenue source, and that's a problem. We didn't need to create a new revenue stream to fix our roads and bridges. That's my argument, so don't throw anything. But as far as, you know, the DOT is absolutely inadequate in this state. They have been inadequate. I can't blame the current director who just got there, but it's been a disaster for 50-plus years, and the Democratic-controlled General Assembly for the last 75 years just gives them an open checkbook to do whatever they want with. It's already helped us with one seat on January 5th with John Pagliarini. It's an issue that resonates because people believe that government should have enough money to maintain the roads and bridges out of our fees, out of our taxes, which are high. Don't forget, we're like the fourth worst in the country, rather than create a new revenue stream. It's a huge, not to quote Donald Trump, huge issue for us. It is really big. We have that and a few other issues, but it's a big issue. We had bipartisan opposition to this plan. There were Democrats who were against the tolls because they listened to the people. And that's what this election, if you go back to the presidency commentary that we had, it's about we the people. That's what this election is about.
Wendy Schiller, as we know, these truck toll gantries to collect tolls are not going to be in place for more than a year. So is this really going to be an issue that's going to resonate for voters this November?
Well, I think it depends on the rest of the year fiscally. So today, a bad audit came out for the state. The state's overpaying, I believe, insurers by millions of dollars. It really depends on how well Gina Raimondo gets the state government working more efficiently, more cost effectively, but not cutting lots of vulnerable people off from benefits. So can she get that done by November, or at least show some progress? If she can show some progress, I think the toll issue gets a little, you know, mitigated. But if not, I think the voters might be more resistant to give more money to a government that doesn't seem to use it efficiently. So I think the jury's still out on how it will resonate.
Scott McKay, how are Republicans going to be able to leverage the truck toll issues to elect more lawmakers?
I think they have to try because they don't have a whole lot else. Now, I will say one thing. Unless you drive an 18-wheeler, this new law probably isn't going to affect you at all. It reminds me of kind of the arguments years ago when they built the convention center. And sure enough, talk radio and all the crazies on the right were saying, you know, it's wired for slots. It's really just a facade to put a casino there. And, you know, the fact is that I don't see anybody in the legislature having the political will, if they want to stay in office, to extend the truck tolls to cars. So I think that's a chimera. I think Chairman Bell and his Republicans are smart to raise it because people don't want tolls on their cars. But still, I don't see that in the foreseeable future happening.
You'll see it in the cost of your goods. This is a tax. It's a hidden tax. It's a regressive tax. You will see it in the cost of your goods. Mark my words. I won't be the chairman of the Republican Party maybe when that starts to happen, but it's not a good idea. It's tolls. We don't call them truck tolls. They're tolls. We don't need tolls in a state that's 45 miles long. We don't need tolls.
Wait a minute. Do tolls really stop people from going places? I've never seen anybody not go to Newport because they had to pay a toll.
Wait, you drive an 18-wheel, you drive a truck? I didn't know you drove a truck.
No, but cars, if you, the average person isn't going to notice. And the other thing is, you take, you know, James Taylor, the Mass Pike from Stockbridge to Boston, there's a toll every 20 miles. And you try to come back from the Berkshires on a Sunday afternoon in August. It's not like the road's empty.
Let's move on and talk briefly about Democratic Governor Gina Raimondo. She's been in office a little more than a year. How do you think she's doing, Wendy Schiller?
I think she is doing really, really well. I think that she's tough. You know, she ran the gauntlet in her campaign. She was opposed by formidable candidates in the primary, formidable forces in a union state in Rhode Island. And I think I'll sum it up with two teachers that were behind me online at the airport getting on an airplane. I don't like her. I didn't vote for her. But now I realize she had to do what she had to do. So they won't vote for her again. Right? But it's an interesting phenomenon to see where the vitriol among a lot of people who didn't vote for her, won't vote for her again, has subsided a little bit when they see that she is engaged, she is on the job in a way that we haven't seen from the governor in a long, long time. You know, we'll see how it all goes for her. Some things might be out of her control, but thus far she seems to be working extremely hard to fulfill some of her promises.
Scott McKay, does Gina Raimondo face double standards as a woman politician?
I think there's always a bit of sexism in politics, but I was astounded, as was Maureen Moakley, our URI professor, who's our political analyst, helps us out on Political Roundtable. There was very little gender issues in the Raimondo race, and I was really surprised that Republicans didn't try to make more of that. There wasn't a big picture. There wasn't headlines. There wasn't a lot of stories about being the first woman. That said, I do think there's always kind of a double standard. I picked up a journal lead one day, and it referred to the pint-sized governor in a lead, written by a woman, by the way, their bureau chief, as I recall. And I think that sometimes, you know, people shouldn't allow that, but that's the editor's fault. And I think that she does have a double standard. On the other hand, you know, Rhode Island's tough. She's trying. There's been nothing dramatic happen yet. If you look at her approval ratings, and I expect Chairman Bell will underscore this, they are far, far below the 72% approval rating that's enjoyed by the moderate Republican governor of Massachusetts,
74,
Charlie Baker.
Now, at the same time,
I'm in the error margin, though.
At the same time, Brandon Bell, we know that Charlie Baker took over a state in much better economic condition, and one might say it's better to take over a Cadillac than a rundown used car. But we know you don't like the truck toll. Give us your overall evaluation of how Governor Raimondo is doing.
I think there's a reason she's only in the low 40s as far as, which I'll underscore, Scotty, as far as her approval ratings. Usually an incoming governor, after their first year, they're still in the honeymoon period. There's a reason she's not. We all had high hopes after our last governor. We all had high hopes, particularly after she went through a major pension overhaul. She was meticulous in doing what she did. What has she done in the first year that I'm so underwhelmed about? I made a little list. I'm not seeing it. Let's see. Increase in spending. Tolls, lack of transparency, not fundamentally improving our business climate, horrible test scores in our schools, engaging in politics as usual by hiring insiders, revolving door ethics violations and problems. Let's wait to see what happens, but I'm underwhelmed.
Well, some of these things, poor test scores, that's a perennial situation that she inherited.
Captain of the ship. I mean, I want to see those test scores get better. Why is Massachusetts test scores, why are they killing us in test scores? Our park scores were horrible. And it's heart-wrenching to see that our schools are failing at such a great rate.
We're heading toward the conclusion of our program here. But Brandon Bell, I'd like to ask you, there's an aphorism in politics that the voters get what they deserve and democracy's a spectator sport. What would it take to bring about a better brand of politics and civic debate in Rhode Island?
That's a great question. I'd say vote any of the incumbents besides the Republicans out. let's increase our uh, let, let's make some dramatic structural changes here. And let's stop the I know a guy mentality that is all too familiar at the State House. Because I'll tell you, although Governor Raimondo ran on that, that she's not going to run that way. She actually talked about it in New York before her inauguration, about how the budget is done in the thick of the night. This is still an I know a guy state.
But the last budget was passed while there was still daylight, and that was a real improvement.
And all of your Republicans voted for it. Every single one of them.
The minimum that we could have tolerated.
Scott McKay, we know that everyone here at the Athenaeum is very enthusiastic about politics. We love it, but there's a great deal of apathy. What would it take to overcome that?
You know, there's a lot of apathy, and I think it's something that I refer to what Tory said before. I think too many people are hooked on the internet, television, as Neil Postman said. One of the best lines from Neil Postman is that electronic Valium. Basically, the television, we are amusing ourselves to death with television. And I think too many people are plugged in to the culture of bright, shiny objects and not paying enough attention to their roles as citizens in our democracy, both in the state and the nation. We have elections now where roughly half the people don't vote. And even in the midterms, it's much worse than that. 38-39%. I know that's good for Mr. Bell's party, but I don't think in the long term it's good for American democracy. And I think that we need to teach better history. I think we need to teach civics better in our schools. I think we need to educate people to what's really at stake and the rights and responsibilities of a democracy.
Wendy Schiller, last word to you. What would it take to build a more robust civic culture in Rhode Island?
Well, I think in Rhode Island, I think if we had a stronger two-party competition, I think it would certainly engage more people. But I think there's a long history of Rhode Island from the late 1900s, big business, kind of being really corrupt, kind of using workers and not treating them particularly well. I think there's a long, long shadow of that in how people perceive their own power in Rhode Island. People sort of start out thinking, I'm powerless, I can't change it. So I think that has to come from within. You have to understand you can change it. I think running more people, as Brandon Bell said, the Republican Party is going to run more people this year in the election for state assembly seats, I think, and state Senate seats. That's key to getting more people involved. But I'm not as doom and gloom about the American democracy as other people. I still think it's very robust. I still think we err mostly on the side of protecting liberty and trying to protect security. I think we have some very deep, longstanding issues with race and ethnicity we have to work on very seriously. But I think if you look around the world and you look at functioning democracies and how long they last and the troubles that can occur, I think we're still doing pretty well.
Well, that's an optimistic note to close on, and certainly small d democracy and civic culture is flourishing here at the Athenaeum. I'd like to thank our panel, State Republican Chairman Brandon Bell, Brown University Political Science Professor Wendy Schiller, Rhode Island Public Radio Political Analyst Scott McKay, and some other thank yous to Christina Bevilacqua and the fantastic staff and administration at the Providence Athenaeum, Rhode Island Public Radio General Manager Tori Malatia, and our wonderful news director Elizabeth Harrison, Chief Engineer Aaron Reed, and Audio Engineer Mike Lamontia. And to you, of course, you've been a wonderful audience, so please give yourselves a hand. This program was recorded on Tuesday, March 22nd. You can hear the question and answer portion of the program at ripr.org.